I predicted a Chinese fleet would invade Australia in 2029 in this book, which I released a couple of months ago, called Outrider. Turns out I was about 4 years too early. The Chinese fleet's here right now. In fact, they're off my hometown of Perth, Western Australia. I want to talk about it. Let's go.
China is rehearsing for an attack on Australian infrastructure and military bases. That's the warning from a former bureaucrat as a trio of warships continues its journey around the country.
So in this book, Outrider, I envisaged a future where Australia would be essentially one of the only Pacific countries that was left standing from the West. A resurgent China takes over Taiwan in the year 2029. They eventually occupy Australia, America retreats from the Pacific, and we're left on our own to basically survive and fight an occupation. Now, interestingly, the Chinese fleet has appeared and circumnavigated the coast of Australia. There were three ships, plus potentially a nuclear submarine, that were identified circumnavigating our country, and they conducted a live fire exercise about 600 kilometres off the coast of Sydney. And this wasn't even detected by our defence force. It was picked up by a commercial airline pilot that picked up the radio signals from this flotilla. So our defence force wasn't really on the job on this one. We've got a tiny defence force. It's about 57,000 people. Fills about half of the Melbourne cricket ground. I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's a stadium. And that is to defend a landmass that is about 80% the size of continental United States. It's a huge area. We've got a really small defense force that's been shrinking a long time, and our Navy's gotten a lot smaller. So I'm going to break this video into three parts. We're going to talk about what this means tactically. I'm going to talk about the strategy of this, and I'll talk about the politics of what's happening. So at a tactical level, you'll hear a lot of discussion about what type of ships they were, what activities they were conducting, the number of vertical launch cells they have. Long story short, these ships are a bit more advanced than ours. They're slightly bigger, slightly heavier. I'll read a quick outline I got from the UNSW website. They said the real significance of the activities of Task Group 107 is the way it has revealed the very different trajectories of the PLA Navy and its Royal Australian Navy counterpart. The Task Group is made up of a Type 55 Renhai class cruiser and a Type 054 Alpha Zhenke 2 frigate and a Type 903 Fushi class replenishment ship, and possibly a nuclear-powered attack submarine like the Shangshang 2 class SSN. This is a powerful force, and it symbolizes the rapid development of the Chinese Navy. Now, the Renhai class cruisers are some of the most capable surface combatants in operation. They're about 13,000 tons, and they've got about 112 vertical launch system cells. The Australian Navy, we've got a Hobart class destroyer. That's our top destroyer. That's about 7,000 tons, so a lot smaller, about half the size. And that has 48 launch missile cells. So we've got a smaller Navy. We've got 10 surface combatants. The Chinese have many more than that. They have 350 times the shipbuilding capacity of the United States. By law, all their ships, even the civilian ships, have to be built to military specs. So if you've got a car carrier, your roll-on, roll-off capability and the deck plates on that ship have to be able to hold not just cars, but armored vehicles. So China's really developed a massive industrial base. And what you're seeing here now, these discussions around the composition of the force tactically, doesn't actually matter. In my view, the much bigger point is that we have tests happening of our country and really a change in the world order that we've known and has been dominated by the West, particularly the United States, since the end of World War II. We're watching a real challenge to that Western-led system. So the tactics of it, they don't really matter. These three ships and possibly a sub have circumnavigated Australia. The Australian Navy hasn't really been able to keep up with it. We haven't been able to shatter them effectively. If a cell like that came near the United States, they'd be all over it. There'd be 50 submarines probably stacked up behind it. In Australia, we don't have that capability. And I think it's going to be a rude shock to everyone that the Chinese Navy, which once upon a time did not have a blue water fleet, when I was studying it back in the late 90s, there was no concern about China's capability. They didn't have a carrier at that point. They weren't really a force projection outfit. They couldn't go that far out of the South China Sea. Here they are, circumnavigating Australia with pretty powerful warships, and there's not that much we can do about it. So tactically, you're not seeing much here. At the strategic level, what you're seeing is China starting to test all the countries in the Pacific, and basically trying to figure out whether it's going to be possible for them to either contain or separate or subjugate Taiwan. Because if you look at their stated aims, Xi Jinping wants to reunite Taiwan with the mainland of China. If that happens, it's a really serious obstacle to the rest of the Pacific. It's been said as well, whoever controls Taiwan controls the world. And China have a very strong interest in trying to occupy Taiwan and have not ruled out force to do so. So they are developing a very powerful navy for a potential future conflict over Taiwan in the South China Sea. And that could involve taking on the United States Navy and its allies, of which Australia is a part. So that's at the strategic level. We're seeing this kind of test of the region. And while all this is happening, they're watching what's happening in Ukraine at the same time. They're wanting to see whether the Americans will stick by their stated allies or if they will have a more isolationist posture at this point. Which brings me to the third part of this video, and it's the most interesting part by a long way, and that is the politics of what is happening here. You're seeing the Western-led order built in the aftermath of World War II being dissolved. And what you're seeing is we've gone from a unipolar world where you've got this really strong superpower, basically the hyperpower of the United States, unchallenged by any peer, is now being challenged particularly by China, Russia to some extent, but mostly China. So you're potentially witnessing a collapse of a rules-based order, which was underpinned by US security, being replaced by a multipolar world with all these competing superpowers that may just end up carving out parts of the globe. That's what I think we're headed towards. I think America is starting to realize they cannot contain every spot fire that is happening around the world. You see in Ukraine at the moment, the pressure being applied to the Ukrainians to come to a ceasefire. The whole world is watching this. You've got an axis that's cooperating, China, Iran, North Korea and Russia. They're sharing arms, they're trading, they're trying to avoid sanctions, they're sharing materials. There's North Korean troops being sent into the Ukraine. This is all very ominous. I don't think people realize just how different this is compared to the world order we've been living in. I don't think people have made that mental shift that in fact we could be heading towards a world where small countries get carved up as part of the globe. And in Australia, we have a huge economic base, but we have a very weak defense force and a very small defense force. And I think it's actually too late to be able to manufacture and deploy ships with a proper manufacturing base. That takes not years. In some cases, it takes decades. The United States had a huge economic capacity at the end of World War II. It was untouched by a lot of the war. A lot of the manufacturing base in America was undamaged because the country wasn't attacked. So they became the leading superpower by building this huge manufacturing base, supplying war machines to Europe and the Pacific, and eventually being able to go on after the war was over, return all their soldiers back to the States, and use these industries to create massive economic output. And that's why America rose to the top so quickly and they became unassailable. But we're now seeing China do the same thing, and they are testing the world order that we've created. To be clear, Australia sends ships into the South China Sea and China is just telling us they can do exactly the same thing. There was nothing illegal about what they did. There was nothing unusual about it, but it is unprecedented. The last time we had ships in Australia during wartime, and people forget about this, there were Japanese mini subs in Sydney Harbour during World War II, and that was a long time ago. And I think people believe that we're untouchable down here, but in fact, if they could project force that far in World War II, I'm sure now they could do a whole lot more. So I just find this really interesting. I think this is a huge wake-up call. I think that people and officials who walk around going, calm down, this is not a big deal, do not listen to them. This is an extremely big deal. This is China telling us we can reach out, we can strike land targets at any point around your country, and there's not a thing you can do about it. So, super interesting. In the book Outrider, what I wanted to do here was try and depict a nation that had been basically occupied by a foreign power that was keen to almost vertically integrate. So Australia, economically, one of our biggest trading partners is China. We export a lot of iron ore, a lot of minerals, a lot of agriculture into China. It's made us incredibly wealthy. But as a Western country, we're aligned culturally and militarily with the West, right? This is a constant balancing act we've been doing in Australia. So I imagine a world where we're cut off from the United States, can't control our shipping. In fact, 90% of our goods that come into Australia are imported by sea. 90% of our petroleum is imported. We don't have a lot of refining capabilities. In fact, if war broke out tomorrow in Australia and we couldn't import oil, we would run out of oil in about 60 days. We don't have a lot. So we're kind of ripe for the taking, to be honest. I imagine a scenario here you can see where Australia is occupied only in the key parts, basically the northwestern shelf of Australia where there's a lot of gas and iron ore, and then in the south of Australia where the Chinese are able to secure a foothold in a state called Victoria. And they occupy a city there. They don't take over the whole country. They don't need to. They just occupy the strategically important parts of it, and they control that area. And that's where the Outrider comes in. Jack Dunn, a former Special Forces officer that fought in Ukraine under the Australian SAS and subsequently was in the evacuation of Kabul. He becomes a resistance leader in the Victorian Hills and basically leads a CIA mission to try and defeat Chinese forces as they go into Australia, into the rebel-held areas to clear that part of Australia. I think it's a really good book. I actually really loved writing it. It was incredibly good fun. Check it out. I've got the link upstairs, so if you want to get a copy, you can find out what my vision is for a country that's been overrun by the People's Liberation Army. I thought about not belling that cat, I think, and being innocuous and saying a powerful country took over Australia, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to publish this and be damned. So we pointed the finger squarely at China. Don't think I'll be going there for a book tour anytime soon. Probably end up in the bag. I thought, you know, for me it was a great book, and it was about the difficulty of combat and trying to preserve your family members in the middle of it. He actually fights alongside his son. He's trying to save his 11-year-old son the entire time. So that's what makes it quite an intense book. But in this novel, yeah, I envisage that the Chinese have occupied these parts of Australia. They've secured them completely. They have a powerful air force, a very strong navy, shipbuilding yards in Australia that are basically all the refinement, all the recovery of metals, all the ore extraction, and all the detailed manufacturing tasks are completed in Australia, and the ships roll straight out of our country. They dominate the entire Pacific and become the Chinese Empire. So that was my take on what could happen in Australia. That was in 2034. Turns out we're already getting visits. So yeah, watch this space.